Hey, thanks for spending time with me. Rusnowski here. This is Porchlight. Amazing how spiritual practices across the globe, universally committed toward a relationship with the divine and the afterlife, embrace so many earthly contradictions. Some monastics isolate themselves from the world in self-sufficient communities, while others are mendicants, wandering from village to village, relying on others for their shelter and sustenance. There are hermits, there are congregations. Some cloistered orders take a strict vow of silence. Some evangelicals proselytize in loud voices. Apparently, no one path, even if the intention is to wind up in roughly the same place. But I do like that term, spiritual practice. Simulating actual game or performance conditions, even though opening day or opening night will never actually arrive. So, you keep practicing. Not so much to get better, but to get closer to what exactly? And doing it isn't nearly as hard as doing it all over again. Quick story about a departed soul who had her spiritual practice down. A realized being because she finally realized she wasn't. Sister Mary Frances had a serious illness but a good attitude about it and asked the other members of her religious community what she could do for them once she reached the other side. World peace, a cure for the common cold. No. She meant something more immediate and smaller in scale. So, who do you call on when you're hunting for a parking place that isn't readily available? Well, I've actually tried this. You should too. Sister Mary Frances. Not a prayer necessarily. Just ask her nicely. You never can tell. Clear intention. Acceptance of outcome. There you go. Spiritual practice. Like they say, many a path to our shared destination.
Chop that wood, carry water. What's the sound of one hand clapping? Yeah, the light and myth don't know what it is. Every second, every minute, it keeps changing to something different. Yeah, the light and myth don't know what it is. I'm in the here and now, now meditating, and still I'm suffering, but that's my problem. Enlightenment don't know what it is. Wake up. But a dream. Everything's an illusion, and nothing is real. Good or bad, baby, you can change it any way you want. You can rearrange it. Enlightenment don't know what it is. Yeah.
Important to ask the big questions, especially when they have no answers, right? Van, admitting this, which who knows, may constitute enlightenment in itself. Then Iris DeMent, first cut on her very first album. For this postcard home, the postmark reads Hollywood, California. Sometimes I think a postcard might wind up being the best part of a visit to a famous site. I've had a number of people tell me they found the Alamo and the Leaning Tower of Pisa to be big disappointments, far smaller than they imagined. While the only real surprise about the Eiffel Tower and the Mona Lisa is the exceedingly long wait in line. For diehard devotees, sorry, best adjective I could manage here, a pilgrimage to a famous cemetery might be just the thing. A selfie, a coin left in the engraved name, a small bouquet if you're so inclined. There's Père Lachaise in Paris, 110 acres that contain the final resting places of a very diverse group of notables whose only possible connection to each other is, right, Frédéric Chopin, Edith Piaf, Jim Morrison of The Doors, Isadora Duncan, Marcel Proust, Gertrude Stein, and Alice B. Toklas on two sides of the same gravestone. Aw. If you happen to find yourself in L.A. with time on your hands, sorry again, there are two good options, Forest Lawn in Glendale. 300 acres, over 250,000 burial sites. William Demarest, alias Uncle Charlie on My Three Sons, Franklin Pangborn, you get the idea. Or maybe the Hollywood Forever Cemetery, formerly Hollywood Memorial Park. Considerably smaller on size and fame, but a great postcard to send to a friend with a shared interest in the interred. Say, Judy Garland, Bugsy Siegel, Art Pepper, and yes, Carl Alfalfa Switzer. Last one, promise. Having a great time. Wish you were here.
Thank you.
The Beach Boys from Surf's Up. I love that image of a cork on the ocean, perhaps closer to the divine than a floating plastic bottle. Then Talking Heads. These days, a place where nothing ever happens would be heaven. I have a wonderful teacher. Whenever you're able to say those words, you are truly blessed. You are learning something that resonates with the essential in your life. Essential like rehab after a physical trauma. Essential like any of the stops between K and 12. Somehow a red apple doesn't seem sufficient here. And so, my personal, albeit inadequate, thanks to my guest on Party of Two, Virginia Ojas Carbonell. Hey, my Spanish teacher tried. Virginia leads classes in yin yoga at the Yogamala Studio in downtown Bloomington, and in the Spanish language at Indiana University. As you will hear, she has become an excellent teacher, due in no small part to the fact that she continues to be an eager student. Could you tell me a little bit about the setting that you grew up in? In Spain, there's a very rich spiritual tradition that goes back not only with Catholicism and Christianity, but also the Moorish influence. You talk a little bit about your early years.
Absolutely. It's funny I should mention when you said Spain has a very long spiritual tradition, the first thought that came to my head was, no, we don't, because I didn't consider religion to be a spiritual tradition for some reason. I think it is because I grew up Catholic, not in a very Catholic home, but I did go to Catholic school since I was 4 until I finished high school at 17. And I think that has made me distance myself from that a lot. So I would consider myself a spiritual person, but not a religious person, if that makes sense.
It does. And in fact, I say that a lot to people myself. If it's not being too intrusive, could you tell me something about your discovery process? Obviously, you carried a belief or a commitment to the spiritual. Could you tell me about that transition?
I didn't practice yoga regularly until I was in my 30s. So I moved to the U.S. when I was 23, and I went to graduate school, and then I got a job, and I started working, and I took a yoga class here and there, but it was never a commitment, or it was nothing that I had yet connected with. But then I came to Bloomington, and I got very sick, and I was in the hospital for about a week, and I was very thin when I left the hospital. I just felt like something was missing. So a friend of mine who used to work here in the Spanish department told me about Vibe Yoga Studio. And after like a year of asking me to go with her, I decided to go. And I just signed up for a membership that first day because I knew if I didn't, I would not go back. So at first for me, it was a physical practice. And I was really into hot yoga, vinyasa, ashtanga, you know, the more not acrobatic, but more physical activity. And then Vibe introduced the yin class in the schedule. And I said, I'm going to try it. I hated it. It was sitting with my thoughts for 60 minutes, like hold the pose for 5 minutes. So you're not making an effort. You're not trying something. You're just sitting there. And I've always had trouble meditating, or what I thought meditating was. So it was a terrible experience. I thought I had to try not to think to clear my head. But then eventually I learned that's not what meditating means. It's just, you know, you're sitting there with your thoughts. You're acknowledging that you have them, and then you try to set them aside. But our minds are created to think, so you cannot clear your head. That's basically impossible. So what you need to do is acknowledge what's happening and then just try to relax, you know, acknowledge this is a thought from the future, so I'm going to set it aside and then come back to my breath and try it again. It's funny that now almost all the yoga that I do is just yin yoga because I'm very active physically and I train about 6 times a week, so that yin yoga practice is the perfect complement for a physical practice.
You touched on something really important, I think, in terms of spiritual practice there. You mentioned how just being quiet, internal, listening to your breath, is a nice supplement to an active life. It seems like there's a lot of free-floating stress out there, just generally, culturally. And it's almost as if technology in many ways creates more stress for us, more of an opportunity to be outside of our bodies, outside of our breath rhythm.
It took me a long time to make peace with the fact that my meditation is going to look different from, say, my husband's. My husband is trained in transcendental meditation. He meditates twice a day. He always comes back and he just feels rejuvenated. And for me, I tried a meditation challenge in which I would meditate each day, and I could barely sit for a minute before I was looking at my watch and thinking, like, you know, I need to stop this and go do all of those things that I have on my to-do list. Meditation has become any activity in which I can just sit with my thoughts and not be distracted basically by technology. So when I crochet, I'm meditating. When I do my dishes, I'm just doing the dishes, I'm meditating. That's meditation for me. And then my yin practice definitely is a meditation as well. Even though I'm holding a pose, I'm still there with my thoughts. And that's, to me, that's what meditation means, that you're sitting there with your thoughts and then you're deciding not to engage with them, or you're trying not to engage with them. And if you find yourself engaging, then you recognize it and then take a step back.
My wife, Tricia, has had a long spiritual practice. And she told me something once I want to ask you about. We were talking about meditation once, and I said, like you, I just can't imagine sitting for 20 minutes and committing to that every day. And she said, you don't understand. If you dedicated yourself consciously to 5 minutes of meditation every day, it would change your life. Do you agree with that?
I've heard that before. So even if it's just for 10 minutes instead of an hour, just taking a couple of poses and just holding the stretches just does wonders for my body, but also for my mind. Any practice is better than no practice. Any physical activity is better than no physical activity. One of my favorite things about yoga is that yoga is not a destination. It is a journey. So it's not about achieving that peak pose, you know, getting upside down on your forearms and bringing your feet to your head. If that's your goal, that's fantastic. But it's more about how do you get there and how do you react along the way if you don't get there as quickly as you want to.
Whenever skies look gray to me and trouble begins to brew, whenever the winter winds become too strong, I concentrate on you. Fortune cries nay, nay to me. Jing, 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 jing. People declare you're through. Whenever the blues become my only song, concentrate on you, on your smile so sweet, so tender. When at first my kiss you do decline, on the light in your eyes when you surrender, and once again arms intertwine. And so when say to me that love's young dream never comes true, ding, 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 to prove that even the wise men can be wrong, I concentrate on you.
Hey, nice to be with you. You're listening to Porchlight with Tom Rusnowski. Production support for this program comes from Smithville at smithville.com and from Gilbert Construction, remodeling homes since 1994. So David Brent Johnson walks in and says, "You guys bustin' George again?" Exhibit A there. You might remember the court case surrounding the similarity of those two compositions, George Harrison and the Chiffons. Guilty as charged. But don't worry, George. In the generous spirit provided by passing time, all is forgiven.
One of the tunes that was very popular in a swing era and then sort of faded from popular visibility was a tune written by Larry Shane and Mac David, who I've happened to like over the years and hope you did too. It's entitled "Sinner Kissed an Angel." And in recent years, Freddie Cole, Nat Cole's youngest brother, has made quite a name for himself over the last few decades. Did an album entitled "Love Makes the Changes," and he's here backed by Cedar Walton on piano, David Williams on bass, and Kenny Washington on drums. Here's "A Sinner Kissed an Angel."
Dancing, the night was perfect for romancing. The night a sinner kissed an angel, he wanted thrills, she wanted love. Oh, but his sighs were tender as he begged her to surrender. The night a sinner kissed an angel, and she believed that it was love. How was she to know that every lovely vow was part of a game he was playing? But to his surprise, he realized somehow he meant every word he was saying. Now I know that miracles can happen, 'cause I saw what happened. That night a sinner kissed an angel, that was the night that I fell in love. To know that every lovely vow was part of a game he was playing. But to his surprise, he realized somehow he meant every word he was saying. Yes, miracles can happen. I know, because I saw what happened. That night a sinner kissed an angel. That was the night that I fell in love.
That eternal threshold. Sister Rosetta and Katie Bell there, 99.5 won't do. Absolutely right. Previous to our visits here on Porchlight, I presented Hometown on Saturday evenings. Among the reasons I continued to be attracted to exploring Terre Haute, Indiana in the summer of 1926 were all the discoveries that transcended that place in time. It actually helped me to understand the world I find myself in currently, addressing the need for both change and acceptance. For sometimes better and mostly worse, we are far more separated from the natural world than we were just a century ago. This manifests noticeably in the numbing and dulling of our individual and collective senses. Spiritual practice invites us, among other things, to deepen our awareness of the present. It starts, reasonably enough, by calling us to be more attentive to our breath and our heartbeat. Then maybe noticing the sound of the breeze or a bird, maybe graduating eventually to someone who's speaking to you, and then actually hearing what you say in response. Technology, by its very nature, has to compromise our ability to listen because the sounds it presents us are meant to achieve convenience, never depth. The sound of your cell phone ringing, the tone of Siri's voice, exactly, reliably, the same every time. We have, in 50 years, evolved from telephones that actually rang by hitting a little bell to a collection of digital alerts that are by necessity generic and impersonal. That's one tough way to learn humility. Our parting word, literally, just that. One word. For all that's been written and taught about deepening appreciation of this life, this present moment, maybe that's all it comes down to. At the very least, it's a good start. And so, next time.
Thank you.
Production support for Porch Light with Tom Rusnowski comes from Smithville. Fiber internet, streaming TV, home security and automation in southern Indiana. More information at smithville.com. And from Gilbert Construction, specializing in restoring, remodeling, and revitalizing Bloomington area homes since 1994. More information about Gilbert Construction by calling 812-876-8110 or on the web at gilbertbuilt.us. Porchlight is engineered by our radio audio director, Mike Paskash. Our executive producer is John Bailey. Visit us at wfiu.org/porchlight.